Okay, good morning, everyone, on this first Sunday of 2021, January the 3rd in the year 2021. It's another day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. What a beautiful way to start the new year, to start the first Sunday of the year in study of God's word. And he is our teacher. It is his book. The Bible is God's book. It doesn't belong to any person. It is his word. Therefore, he must be the teacher because he is the one. It is of the Spirit that this word is given. And it takes the Spirit to understand the word of the Lord. So we want to ask the Holy Spirit, to open up this word to us that we might have the spirit of wisdom and knowledge and understanding in the word of the Lord. I am glad to see each one of you this morning, whether it's via telephone numbers or your name or a still picture of you or on video. I am glad that you are here. If we have any first timers, I welcome you to the Contemporary Bible Class. Anyone is invited to join this class. This class is not limited to anyone by any means. It's open to men and to women. It is open to saved and to sinner. It's open to young and to old. It's open to whosoever will. So I'm glad that you are here. If we have any of our members that have not been with us for a while, our classmates that have not been with us for a while, we welcome you back to the class in this new year. I am responsible to seeing about us to the best of my ability. To people who are part of this class. So with that in mind, Sister Jewel Gay, Sister Catherine Murphy, myself, and I'm going to also involve Sister Sharon Young, and I'll be contacting her. But we are trying to contact some of our, quote, missing in action classmates. So Sister Catherine, Sister Gay compiled some numbers on some names yesterday and numbers, and Sister Catherine got busy. So we want to see about each other. We need to see why people are not with us. We can't make anyone come, and we're not trying to, but we are responsible to love one another, care for one another, and we never know why a person is not with us in class. So I welcome you this morning in the name of Jesus. We are continuing in our study of Luke chapter 11. This is part two. I'm saying of the Lord's Prayer. We actually started this chapter several weeks ago, but we're going to continue on studying from the Lord's Prayer found in Luke chapter 11, verses 2 through 4. Also, by way of introduction here, last week I mentioned those who in our class who passed during the year 2020, and we only had one classmate that did pass, and that was Brother Austin Adams. But I also want to recognize and acknowledge Reverend Dr. Peter Evandy from Cameroon, Africa. He was not a member of Salem Baptist Church, but he was whenever he was in the States and did come to Salem, he came to the Contemporary Bible Class. So he was a classmate of ours, and I want to acknowledge that. He is now somewhere around God's throne. So we remember him. Also, we want to remember, most of you heard that Bishop Tyler passed. He's been promoted to glory in this past week. He passed. So we want to remember his wife, the family, and the church in prayer. Well, let's go to God in prayer. Blessed God, our Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus on this brand new day that you have made. We do rejoice and we are glad in it. We thank you for being with us on all our yesterdays and all the former years. Lord, you have been seeing about us and you have ushered us by grace into a brand new year. And we are glad to start this year in study of your word. We ask you now through Jesus Christ, our Lord, to be our teacher, lead us and guide us in truth. And we'll be careful to give your name the praise forever. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Also, one person called me yesterday because you know I'm a strong promoter of reading the entire Bible, and that is not for every believer to do, but it is for some of you. You need to read the entire Bible, especially if you're in Christian ministry at all, and especially if you've been walking with the Lord for any time. You need to read the Bible in its entirety from cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation. Someone called me on yesterday because they were prompted to do that by the Spirit. Sister Betty Williams is with us in class. I hope you're still reading through, Sister Williams. All I say is don't put yourself on a yearly time frame. Some people can read it in a year, the entire Bible. I have read the entire Bible in as little as 7 months. That was years ago, but I did it. But don't put yourself on a time frame. The main thing is to read and keep reading. The shortest I've read it is 7 months. The longest it has taken me to read it is over 3 years. But I kept on. I would pause wherever and make a note and pick up when I could. Now, when I say the longest was 3 years, that doesn't mean I wasn't reading my Bible in there. I was preparing for classes and teaching and lessons and in my Bible. But I continue always to read the Bible from cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation. So I encourage you, whoever's supposed to do that, the Lord will let you know. For others of you, it's all you can do to just read some portion of your Bible every day. So keep doing that. Well, today we're going to continue on in our study of Luke in this portion of scripture called the Lord's Prayer. So let's start out by reading Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. And I hope everyone's on mute because I can hear some sounds. So please put yourself on mute. If you're not able to do that on the telephone, just be aware that we can hear sounds. Okay? So Luke chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father, and let's read this together out loud, even though you may be on mute. Let's read this and let's also pray it. So let's read, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen. Okay, so for those who read along, praise the Lord. Okay, now put yourselves back on mute. Okay, so we started this prayer, studying from this prayer several weeks ago. And we saw that we know this is commonly called the Lord's Prayer. However, Jesus had no need to pray this prayer, especially certain portions of it. So it really is the disciples' prayer. There are two parts to this prayer. Actually, we could say three. First of all, there is the one who is addressed, and that is God the Father. The address is our Father in heaven. And everything else, all the other words in this prayer are addressed to our Father in heaven. And then we notice from then on, after the address, there are two parts and there it is separated by the pronouns. First of all, we noticed it says, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So this first portion of the prayer, it's all about God. It's about God's name. It's about God's kingdom. It's about God's will. The second part of the prayer starts in verse 3 where the pronoun changes from your name, your kingdom, your will. And in verse 3 and 4, now we see it's us and our. And that's how this prayer started out, our Father. Well, when you go to verse 3, it says, give us day by day our daily bread and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So the first part of this prayer is about the glory of God. The second part of, well, all of it is glorifying God. The second part of the prayer is focused on us, on the redeemed, on the children of God. On last week, we looked at our Father in heaven. That is the first clause phrase of this prayer. Well, we didn't get too far because we found out the word our is a loaded word. The word Father, we can never exhaust that word, that name, the name Father either. But in our introduction last week, we found out our Father. This is a family prayer. This is a body of Christ prayer. This is a prayer where you can pray it individually. You can pray it for yourself, but it was given to pray for the entire body of Christ. And we want to grow and mature in our prayers. We need to stretch our prayers where we're not just praying for me and mine, whether it's just you and your family, which you need to pray for yourself and pray for your family. If anyone needs to pray for themselves, their self and their family, it's us. You have to do that for yourself. But we want to stretch our prayers more than just praying for me and mine, whether it's my family, whether it's my church, whether it's my community, whether it's my nation. We want to pray for the entire body of Christ all over the world, regardless of denominations, regardless of any social classifications. All that are redeemed by the blood, we want to sweep in and include, because you know there are differences. There are many differences, but all who are redeemed by the blood, we set all those differences aside. If you have been redeemed by the blood, you are part of our Father. And so our Father includes all the children of God. We found out this is a family prayer. It is Father, and then it is children. That's who the our is. It is the children of God. Father, and then the children. Father, and also the redeemed. How do we become children of God? It is through redemption. We have been bought with a price. Bought out of the slave market of sin. That is redemption. Bought by the precious blood of Jesus. How do we become children of God? Well, we have been redeemed, but we have also been regenerated. We have been born again. If any man is in Christ, you have to be in Christ. But if any person is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. So we become children of God through redemption. We become children of God through regeneration, and we also become children of God through adoption. We have been adopted because we come into this world in the family of Adam. We come in the world in the family of Adam, but Jesus, God, through Jesus, adopts us. So we become his children through redemption, through regeneration, and through adoption, all by the blood of Jesus. He is our Father. What kind of Father is God? He is a good Father. He is a loving Father. He is a wise, compassionate Father. He cares for his own. He loves his children. He loves all his children. Sometimes we want to say he loves us better than more than others, but God loves all his children. Even the weak he loves, even the carnal he loves, even those who may not agree with us on certain things, he loves them. And this is one thing this prayer does. It should help us to walk more in the love of God and put away differences, just so a person, if they come by the blood of the Lamb, our Father, we're in the same family. Well, today we're going to move a little further by the grace of God, and we're going to talk about our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now, we could spend all day talking about in heaven. We don't have all day, so I'm just going to say a few things and spend the majority of our time, the biggest portion of our time, talking about hallowed be your name. But first of all, our Father. Well, I said this is the address of the prayer. Who are we addressing? We are addressing God. But where is God? God, it says right here, our Father in heaven. That is the address. And so when we pray here on this earth, we direct prayer towards God, to God, our Father in heaven. Now, when we say our Father in heaven, that is said by faith. We are faithful. Christians are believers, right? That's one title of ours, is we believe. Well, what we believe, many things. We believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. We believe that it is through the blood of Jesus that we have been redeemed. We believe that Christ was born. We believe that born of a virgin, conceived of the Holy Ghost, lived a righteous and pure life, went about doing good, healing the sick, raising the dead, preaching the gospel, casting out demons. We believe that he was crucified to pay the price for sin. His blood was the price for sin. He was buried and on the third day rose again with all power in his hand. We believe that he ascended and he is seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us, and he will come again and rule on this earth. We believe that. But we also believe that our Father is in heaven. So when we say our Father in heaven, we are saying that without a doubt. We are not saying, well, our Father, wherever you are. We don't say our Father, wherever you are. We don't say our Father, I hope you're in heaven. We say our Father in heaven. And we say that by faith. We have not seen Father in heaven. We have never seen Jesus. We've never seen him, but we do believe. We have never seen our Father in heaven, but we do believe that our Father is in heaven. And so this is a faith-filled phrase. It is a faith-filled address that our Father is in heaven. We believe he's in heaven, but we also believe he is. He is God. We say without a doubt, our Father, he is in heaven. And so we believe emphatically that God is. We have no doubt about it. We not only believe it. I think of Sister Mary Wade, former First Lady of Salem Baptist Church in Omaha. And she would say, I not only believe it, I know it. Oh, yeah. And we say, we not only believe that there is a God, we know, I know that there is God. And so I say, our Father, along with you all, our Father in heaven. Well, that makes him, God is, we believe it. But that's why we say our Heavenly Father. Now, we don't always say our Heavenly Father, but sometimes we say our Heavenly Father. Well, that's scriptural. It's even right here in Luke chapter 11. When you look at chapter 11, verse 13, Luke chapter 11, verse 13, it says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And so God is our Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father. So we're talking about what? Spiritual things. We're talking about the spiritual body of Christ. We're talking about the spiritual family of God. This is a spiritual thing that we're talking about. So we have natural fathers, physical fathers. Everybody here, somebody is your father. Somebody was your father. Maybe they passed, but we all had natural physical fathers. Well, that's of the Adamic race. That's of Adam. Adam is all of our former grand, great grand, way on back, their father is Adam. And all of our genealogies trace all the way back to Adam. But we have these natural physical fathers, but Jesus, God, the Father, once you are born again, he is your heavenly Father. And that's one reason we can say our Father in heaven. We also, when we say our Father in heaven, how is it that we can say our Father in heaven? Now, you're sitting wherever you're sitting. I'm sitting at a table here in my house, and you're sitting probably in your house or in your apartment. And we can say, you can talk as loud as you can, the loudest you can talk in your house or in your apartment. And as loud as you can talk, you make and cover, everybody probably could hear you in your whole house. But what about the house next door? Do you think they can hear you in your house when you shout as loud as you can? Well, perhaps they can, depending on how big a mouth you have. But then, will they be able to hear you all over the block? No way. So how is it that our meager voices, people of the dust, can say a prayer here on earth, and it goes all the way to God in heaven? It is by the Spirit of God. Prayer takes the Spirit. If the Spirit of God is not involved in prayer, and we're most of the times not even aware of the Spirit of God involved in our prayer, but God is Spirit. He is Spirit. And they that worship him, and they that pray to him, and they that do his will must be in the Spirit. And so how does our prayer reach from here in Omaha? Somebody's in Dallas. Somebody here, I see Atlanta. I think London's on the screen with us. And wherever else you may be, we did have New York with us. But wherever you are, and it's not just us in America or Europe, it's all over the world by the Spirit of God. This one body can say our Father, and our prayers ascend by the Spirit of God through Jesus Christ, who is the way. He is the way. And we know Jesus said in John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father, even in prayer. No man comes to the Father but by me. And so we need Jesus to take our prayers. He is our great high priest. He is the one that has gone on, is seated at God's right hand. And we pray in the name of Jesus. And sometimes we may forget to say in the name of Jesus, but God, thank God, he knows. Sometimes some don't even know any better. But we're learning here. We pray through Jesus, our great high priest. He takes those prayers, and he, our intercessor, takes our prayers along with his prayers and presents them to the Father. Prayer must be offered by the Spirit of God. And that's how this passage ends in Luke chapter 11. That last verse, verse 13 here, says we need the Holy Spirit. And so we say, our Father in heaven. Now that also says, if we're praying as God's children and we say, our Father in heaven, by faith, we believe it. It is by the unction of the Holy Ghost, whether we're aware of it or not, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Do we believe God is listening? Yes, he's listening. God is our Father. And when his children call on him, he listens to us. He listens to his children. Now we need the whole Bible, because the Bible lets us know you have to confess your sins. You have to confess your sins. But even that is done in prayer. But confession of sin, without confession of sin, there is a hindrance to prayer. Sins must be confessed. Also, there must be forgiveness. We have to forgive people. If we want God to hear our prayers, we must forgive. And so all of that's taking place in prayer. But when we pray, God is listening. Just like our earthly father will hear his children. The earthly father wants his children to come to him. He wants his children to talk to him. And there are some fathers for various reasons in life that are separated from children for whatever reason. But it would be, and sometimes that's by choice, and sometimes it's not by choice. But it is natural for a father to want to talk to his children, and the children to talk to their father, and father to listen. Father listens to children, but you know what? The children also listen to the father. God is listening. Well, this says, our Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven. Now, this is the address, heaven. So this lets us know what? Where is God? Where is God? Now, that's a big question there. But we could say, based on this scripture, and Jesus cannot lie. Jesus said, our Father in heaven. So heaven is the dwelling place of God. God dwells in heaven. Our Father in heaven. That's where the throne of God is. Revelation chapter 4, where John the Revelator, John said, and a door was opened in heaven, and one sat on the throne. He saw the throne of God in heaven. But then we need to think as well, and we're not going to spend a lot of time on this, our Father, he dwells in heaven. But let's go to 1 Kings. We're going to turn to quite a few scriptures this morning, Lord willing, and our time doesn't run out. But let's go to 1 Kings, which is in the Old Testament, 1 Kings chapter 8. And that's towards the front of the Bible, but it's in a little ways. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. And then you go on and you hit Samuel's, 1 and 2 Samuel, and then the Kings, okay? So 1 Kings, and I believe I quoted those right, 1 Kings chapter 8. Now God dwells in heaven. Yes, he does. But God, we know, we learn that God is omnipresent. And omni means all. God is omnipresent. God is omniscient. God is omnipresent. He's present. He's everywhere. God is everywhere. Because we dwell in our houses and our house alone. I am in one location at a time, and so are you. That is true of every single human being. We are limited by time and space. So this is a mystery. God dwells in heaven, but on the other hand, God is omnipresent. And David said in Psalm 139, where shall I go from thy presence? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. In other words, you can't get away from God. God is bigger than his creation. God encompasses all of his creation. But the mystery of it is our Father in heaven. Well, Genesis, and I haven't forgot 1 Kings, but Genesis tells us, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So God created the heavens. So that same God that created the heavens, how is it that he dwells in heaven? The Almighty, omnipresent God is the mystery of God that we cannot understand, that he can be everywhere. But he says to us, and it is true, our Father in heaven. That's the throne room of God, the dwelling place of God. So when we look at 1 Kings chapter 8, now this is a lengthy chapter. It's a good chapter. All of God's word is good. But when we look at 1 Kings chapter 8, King Solomon had just finished building the temple of the Lord. And the ark of the Lord had been brought into the temple, and God filled the temple with his glory. So in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 12, Solomon has a sermon. You know, there are many sermons in the Bible. And Solomon preaches in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 12. Then Solomon spoke. And Solomon said, the Lord said he would dwell in the dark cloud. I have surely built you an exalted house and a place for you to dwell forever. Now let's stop there. Stop right for a moment here, because I just thought of our places of worship, the physical buildings that you know, different churches, whether it's Salem Baptist Church, and there's many myriads of churches, Christian churches, and they are built as, and we would say, it's God's house. God dwells there. And yes, that is true, but it's a shadow. It is a shadow. God dwells in heaven. But these earthly houses that we build for God, these churches, they will be torn down. You got to replace the roof. You got to replace carpets. You got to do all of that because it's of the earth. So those are shadows of God who is in his sanctuary. You know, Psalm 150 says, praise God in his sanctuary. Well, that's not really talking about Salem Baptist Church or Morning Star, Church of the Living God, or Mount Moriah, or any other of these local churches. It's praise God who dwells in heaven in his sanctuary. So Solomon says he had built God a house. So Solomon, 1 Kings chapter 8, Solomon's speaking, I have built you a house, an exalted house. I mean, it was some kind of house that Solomon had built, a place for you to dwell in forever. And then Solomon went on preaching. And then in verse 22, 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 22, Solomon prays. He begins his prayer to God. Now, here we are in the year 2021, praying our Father in heaven. But you know, this didn't just start with us. This has been going on for many years, many, many years, that people have been praying to the true God in heaven. Solomon was one of those people who lived on this earth thousands of years ago. And so Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 22, then Solomon stood. Now this is Solomon's entering into prayer here. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands toward heaven. Now, see, that's a posture that Solomon took in prayer. He stood, but he stretched out his hands towards heaven, getting ready to pray. And he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God in heaven above or on earth below like you. So Solomon is praising the Lord. And Solomon says, there is no God in heaven above or on earth below like you. And then Solomon goes on talking some more about God. Then we go to verse 27. And verse 27 says, Solomon has a question in his prayer. He has a question. Chapter 8, verse 27, 1 Kings. Solomon says, but will God indeed dwell on the earth? Will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you. How much less this temple which I have built? So you all see that God dwells in heaven. Yes, he does. But Solomon lets us know, and when you think about it, God created the heavens. He created the heavens, Genesis chapter 1. God is bigger than his creation, but yet he dwells in heaven. So Solomon tells us here, will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven, one heaven, and the heaven of heavens. Because you know in Genesis, and the firmament was divided in the heavens and the firmament, and there was firmament above and firmament beneath, and it's all these heavens. But Solomon lets us know, behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain God. But verse 28 goes on to say, yet, even though I don't understand it, Lord, yet regard the prayer of your servant and his supplication. O Lord, my God, and listen to the cry and the prayer which your servant is praying before you today, that your ears may be open. And then Solomon goes on praying. But then he says in verse 30, Verse 30, and may you hear, may you hear. That's why we pray, because we want God to hear us. May you hear the supplication of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray toward this place here in heaven, your dwelling place. And when you hear, forgive. And so Solomon says it more than once. He said it here in verse 30, here in heaven, here, H-E-A-R, here in heaven, your dwelling place. And when you hear, forgive. Verse 32, here in heaven. Verse 34, hear God in heaven. Then it goes on and on. Verse 36, here in heaven. Verse 39, I've circled these in my body, in my Bible. And then verse 49, then here in heaven, your dwelling place. Verse 52, that your eyes may be open to the supplication of your servant and the supplication of your people Israel, to listen to them whenever they call on you. So we say, going back to Luke here, we say, our Father in heaven, because that's what Jesus told us today, to say, God, our Father is in heaven. That's his dwelling place. That's where his throne is. But yet God is bigger than it all. He is bigger than it all. He is omnipresent God. Now, with the remaining time we have, and time is marching on, let's go on. Our Father in heaven, and then it says, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Now we see God is our Father. Yes, he is. And as Father, we can go to God. We should go to God. He wants to hear us. But God is holy. This is what we need to know. God is not anyone's buddy. He is not a buddy. He is our Father, but he is holy God. And he is to be respected, revered, set apart, sanctified. He is holy God. And so our Father in heaven. And then next, this is the whole prayer. Is about this, hallowed be your name. That's the umbrella over everything else in this prayer. Your kingdom come. Why? So your name, God, can be hallowed. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why? So that God's name can be hallowed. Give us day by day our daily bread. Why? So that God's name can be hallowed. We hallow him as our provider, Jehovah Jireh. And all of this is that God's name may be hallowed. The whole prayer, that's what it's all about. So it says here, hallowed be your name. Now we need to talk about the word hallow. We don't have a lot of time, but the word hallow simply means to reverence. We reverence God, reverence, and it means to sanctify. God's name is holy. He is holy, holy God. God is to be revered. God is to be reverenced. God is sacred. And we're living in a day and age where there's not too many things that are regarded as sacred. And I can see this change in my lifetime since I've been here on this earth. I have seen a change, and you have seen a change. Even I can remember there was a time you didn't do everything on Sunday. Because what? Yeah. It was hallowed. It was sanctified. That day was set apart. And for some is Saturday, the Sabbath. But that is for the most part, that's gone along by the wayside. And there are not many things, places, people, names that are hallowed today. But God is what? He is holy. He is sacred. He is to be set apart. He is God. That's what holy means. Set apart. Don't make, and God is not going to be made common. But God is sacred. And so we say, Lord, we hallow your name. Well, what about that name? The name of God represents everything there is about God. Everything that he has revealed to us about himself is in his name. Now, my name is Velma Jean Sanders. And one day I need to talk to my mom again and ask her, how did I get that name, Velma Jean? Well, I know I got Sanders, but that Velma Jean. And you all got a story to how you got your name. Some of you may know and others of you may not. But we know Adam, God named Adam. And Adam's name means what? Adam means man. That's what the word Adam means. Adam means man or mankind. And Adam was named man or mankind because he is the progenitor of the human race. All men come from Adam, except for Jesus. Jesus comes as the last Adam, head of a new race. But Adam was named Adam because his name means man. Well, what about Eve? Take her name. The name Eve means life giver. She is the mother. All of us come forth from Eve. Eve in her was us. So Adam and Eve, Adam meaning man and mankind. Eve meaning what? Life giver. Life giver. Well, God, the name of God. Now, you talk about a study. Once I was going to do a teaching on the names of God, it was too big for me. I mean, I was just swallowed up. I just couldn't fathom. I mean, even this study for today, I cried, tears came. I knew I was on holy ground talking about the name of God. And I know his name is to be reverenced. Now, as I was saying, I'm hastening because our time is hastening too. We're living in a day and age, there's not too much reverence. There's not too much reverence at all. There was a time Sunday was reverenced, or Saturday was reverenced. The houses of God were reverenced. Preachers were, when I say reverenced, I mean we regarded things as sacred. Life is not sacred anymore. Talking about in general, talking about in society in general, life is not sacred anymore. People don't even reverence their own bodies. Nothing, I mean, in general, talking anything goes, show it all. There is no reverence or respect or regard or sacredness in a lot of places. We can see that where nothing is being really hallowed today. The hallow thermometer, or it could be barometer, is going down on hallowing things. Well, does that stand for God? Oh, no. God still is the same. He is to be hallowed. His name is to be hallowed. And so it's either hallowed. Now, what's on the other side of hallowed? It's either hallowed or blasphemed. That's it. There's no in between. You're either hallowing the name of the Lord or his name is being blasphemed. And blaspheme means to take lightly, to take the name of God lightly. And do you know Christians? It happens all the time through ignorance and through being in this world, in this society. And you get used to things where you can use God's name lightly. But his name is never to be used lightly, especially from the children of God. We were created. This is the main purpose of this prayer, is to hallow the name of God. We are to hallow his name. Now, I want us to go to quite a few scriptures. So, Lord, lead me. Now, when we say hallow the name of God, we are to hallow his name. But this prayer is to God. God, hallow your name. God, vindicate your name. God, make your name holy. God calls everyone to bow to your name. And you know every knee's going to bow to Jesus, and every knee's going to bow to the name of the Lord. Everybody's going to praise the Lord. You know, Psalm 150, we're so used to hearing it. Praise God. Praise God in his sanctuary. And it goes on, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And we praise the Lord. You all ought to be praising the Lord now. Lord, we praise you. Then it comes on down and it says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. That's praise his name. Well, do you think God was just meaning, if you feel like it, praise me. If you want to, praise me. No, Lord, he means, no, God. God means his name will be hallowed, and everything that has breath will praise the Lord. He just wasn't filling in a book. He just wasn't writing words just to be writing. When God said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, he's going to bring it to pass that everything that has breath is going to praise the Lord. Now we got to run. You all put on your running shoes because we're going to run through the scripture. Exodus. Let's go on back to Exodus. Exodus chapter 20. And we're going to go as far as time lets us and as far as the Spirit lets us as well. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus 20. Now, as Christians, we want to mature in our prayers. We want to mature in our Christianity. And I would say to each one of you and myself, be very careful how you use the name of God. Don't just be saying God's name and not saying it in reverence. And for some, it may be a habit to just say, oh, God, and not really meaning, not really saying it in reverence, or Jesus. And his names are as revealed in the Bible. When someone says, Lordy, 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 that is not one of his names. His name is not Lordy. He never called himself Lordy. You can read it from Genesis to Revelation. He is not the man upstairs. He gave us the names to call him. And if anyone ought to be hallowing the name of the Lord, it's Christians. So we want to be careful how we use the name of God. Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. Exodus 20, verse 7. You shall not take, this is God giving the Ten Commandments, talking to his people. Verse 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Now, God has never revoked that. God has never changed his mind. God didn't say, well, this is the New Testament now, so you can forget that commandment. Oh, no. The New Testament says, too, hallowed be his name. And so the thread is right here. The needle is threaded. Don't take the name of the Lord your God. He is our God. Don't take his name in vain. Let's go to chapter 34, Exodus chapter 34. Exodus chapter 34, verse 5, beginning at verse 5. Exodus 34, verse 5. Now the Lord, this is Moses there at the Mount of Sinai. Mount Sinai. Now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there, Moses, and proclaimed the Lord. The Lord proclaimed the name of the Lord. Here's God going to praise his own name. And you all, that's the highest praise, is when God praises himself. And so he proclaims the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before Moses. And the Lord proclaimed, now here's God praising his own name, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children, to the third and the fourth generation. So Moses hurried up, made haste, bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. And you all, that's how we should be with God, with the name of God. There's even in the church today, and I'm not talking about any one particular local church. I'm talking about in general. God is not our buddy. God, his name is just being used flippantly. But he is to be reverenced. He is to be revered. You know those angels that are before the throne of God, those seraphim and cherubim, and with two wings they cover their faces because God is so holy. Exodus chapter, so Moses in response to God and God proclaiming his name, Exodus 34 verse 8, Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. So Moses realized he's in the presence of God. Verse 14, same chapter. Exodus chapter 34, verse 14. You shall worship no other god, small g, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous. That's one of his names, is Jealous, is a jealous God. He doesn't want you to use, he doesn't want me or you, any of us, to you. He's a jealous God, and he's jealous for his name. Let's go on over to Leviticus. We have 5 minutes. Leviticus chapter 22. Leviticus chapter 22. Leviticus 22, verse 32. Leviticus 22. Leviticus chapter 22, verse 32. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. You shall not profane my holy name. You shall not take lightly, blaspheme, irreverently my holy name. You shall not profane my holy name, but I will be hallowed. I will be hallowed. So that's the prayer that Jesus is telling us to pray, and pray to God. God, hallowed be your name. Help me to hallow your name in all my words, in all my actions, in all my deeds, in all my thoughts. Whatever I do, I should do it all to the glory of God. Yes, that's true on the human perspective and the human level, but God, vindicate your own name. Same verse, Leviticus 22, verse 32. You shall not profane my holy name, but I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. I am the Lord who sanctifies you, who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord. And God will say it over and over again. He knows exactly who he is, and he tells us, and he says, I am the Lord. And you all, why were we created? Why does God command us to praise him and to hallow his name? Because, well, who God is, and you need to think, well, who exactly is this God? And when you think about who God is and all that he is worthy to be hallowed, to be revered, to be praised. Our very breath is in his hand. Let's go on over to Leviticus chapter 24. We have 3 minutes. Leviticus chapter 24. Leviticus 24, verse chapter 24. Now write this down, because we're not going to have time to read it all. Leviticus 24, verses 10 through 16. Leviticus 24, verses 10 through 16. This is a case of a man who blasphemed God's name and what happened to that man. So that's in Leviticus 24, verses 10 through 16. Well, in our closing minutes, if you have a pencil and paper, I want you to write down these verses as well. Psalm, P-S-A-L-M, Psalm 111, Psalm 111, verse 9. And it says, holy and reverend is his name. That's old King James. New King James switched that word reverend to awesome. I like the old King James. God is the reverend one. He is reverend. Okay, that's Psalm 111, verse 9. Then Psalm 113, verses 1 through 6. Psalm 113, verses 1 through 6. Now let's all turn to Psalm 145. Psalm 145, we're going to close in prayer today and in praise to God with Psalm 145. And as you're turning to Psalm 145, also write down John 12. John 12, verses 27 and 28. John 12, 27 and 28. And that's where Jesus is saying, Father, glorify your name. And the Father says, I have glorified it, and I'm going to glorify it again. Okay, Psalm 145, I'm going to enter into prayer. We're entering into prayer on this last Sunday of the year. Notice the pronouns in this psalm. I, God, I, Velma, and I, all of us in class this morning, I and our Father, I will. We make a choice to extol you. It's about your name and not mine. It's about your name and no one else's. I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. every day I will bless you and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great are you, Lord, and greatly to be praised. And your greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. Lord God, we hallow your name and we pray as Jesus our Savior taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We ask you to be with us through this week and keep us in your care until we meet again. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
We were cheating, but we made it. I want you all to read all of Psalm 145 and notice your name and all those pronouns. And then it's going to switch to the little word all, A-L-L. Notice all the all. God bless everyone.
Happy New Year.
God bless you, Velma.
God bless you. You have to say God bless you, Velma. God bless you all. I just love my class.
God bless you.
We love my class.
It's God's name, God's kingdom, God's will. God bless everyone.
Love you all.
God bless you.
Sister Velma.
Yes.
This is Sister Cole speaking. Go ahead, Lady Mother Sadie.
Hi, Sister Cole.
Remember me. Remember me tomorrow.
In prayer. Okay.
Yeah. At 11 o'clock.
For surgery. Okay.
Yes, well, ma'am.
Everyone listening, we together, the family here, we want to remember Sister Sadie Cole, who will be having surgery tomorrow at 11 o'clock. What hospital?
Nebraska Med Center.
We'll be praying for you in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
God be with you.
Amen.
Amen.
And so with you. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name.
Blessed be the name.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen. God bless everyone.
Okay. Miss Velma, take care.
Take care.
God love you, Miss Velma.
Bye-bye. Love you, too.
Bye-bye.